Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Boris Johnson. The British government has outlined a new immigration system to manage the flow of workers into the UK and replace existing rules from the 1st of January 2021. Because, as you know, Britain is leaving the EU. Well, kind of officially left, but it's not really official because everything won't be in place till the end of this year. But the 1st of January 2021, there will be new rules in place. And that applies, by the way, to anybody living in Ireland who's not an Irish citizen. Now, if you're an Irish citizen, of course, the common travel area still applies because that predates both Ireland and the UK's EU membership, which allows Irish and British citizens to move freely between country and country. In other words, you can move backwards and forward to either jurisdiction, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, whatever it happens to be. So we've got that. That's okay for us. But if you're living in Ireland, for example, and you happen to be Polish, or you're living in Ireland, Estonian, or whatever it is, and you're living in Ireland and you're not an Irish citizen, this will apply to you too if you want to visit the United Kingdom and not on a tourist visa. You will also, by the way, if you're coming from outside the EU or within the EU and you're going to Britain, unlike before where you just jumped on a plane from Europe and went to Britain, you can't anymore. You won't be able to. You'll have to have a tourist visa. Now, I don't know whether they'll bring in a waiver program. They may for some countries, but they may not. So you will have to have a tourist visa, similar to you'd have to go to have a, years ago, we had to have a tourist visa to go to the United States. We have a waiver program now, so we don't have to. You just fill out your ESTA online. So it's a little bit different now. But the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has said the common travel area will not be affected by the Brexit. So here are the details of how it works, right? So if you're living in the EU or non-EU, it's irrelevant, by the way, because remember, they're not part of the EU anymore. So if you're living outside Britain, with the exception of Ireland, you're basically to go to live in Britain or to work in Britain will be a points-based system. Sorry, that kind of didn't come out properly. A points-based system. Now, Priti Patel, who is the Secretary of State for the Home Department, kind of explains it a little bit. And I'll play a little bit of audio. It gives you an idea what she's talking about.
The purpose of this new system is to create a single global immigration system that the UK government is in control of. So, yes, we will bring overall numbers down by reducing the number of people with low skills coming to the United Kingdom, but also by ending freedom of movement through our exit from the European Union. We cannot simply just rely on low skill, low wage, low cost labour coming in from the EU, which we have become dependent upon through our membership of the European Union and through free movement of labour. Our approach to the points-based system is for the brightest and the best. It's for the high skills that we do need to be a highly productive, highly efficient and highly dynamic economy. This is a UK-wide system that we are announcing and proposing today, and that is why we will be applying our points-based system to the whole of the United Kingdom. And obviously, Scotland will equally benefit from having the brightest and the best come into their businesses, their universities, some of their high-skill sectors. And that is something that will benefit the Scottish economy, the whole of the United Kingdom economy, and obviously Scotland too.
All right, so there you go. Well, there's the reason why they're doing it, but here's the way the point system works. If you want to go and work in the United Kingdom, you will have to have an offer of a job. By the way, there's a list of things that you get points for, right? But you get automatic 50 points in total for having these three things. Now, you must have these three things to go to the UK and work in the UK as and from the 1st of January, with no exceptions. You must have a job offer or an approved sponsor. In other words, somebody who is going to offer you a job and be sure of that job. You can't just go over there and be unemployed. You also, the job offer must be a required at a required skill level. In other words, it must be something that a British person or somebody who's unemployed in Britain can't do. In other words, it can't be a job offer to work in a supermarket, or it can't be a job offer to work, you know, in the retail sector, or something that basically most people can do anyway. You can't go flipping burgers on a job offer. All right. And the final one, which has caused a bit of consternation today, is speak English. You must be able to speak English. Now, I'm assuming by that they mean that you must have a basic grasp of the English language. I'm assuming you don't have to be fully fluent in it, but you must have a working knowledge of the English language. In addition to that, there are other parts or other criteria that will get you points. Those three you must have. You can forget about it. You're not going over unless you have those three. There's also education level that gets you another 10 points. How your salary compares to the going rate for the field in which they wish to work. In other words, if you're being offered more money because you're a specialist at what you do, that will get you another 10 points. And if there's a shortage of workers in that field, so say, for example, construction is booming and they're short of construction workers and you happen to be a skilled bricky or plaster, well, then you get an extra 10 points for that as well. They will also allow 10,000 people per year to come in and work on farms. And that will be through the National Farm Union, as they always do every year. They've increased that amount from 2,500 to 10,000, which allows for part-time workers in the UK during the summer. But you'll have to leave, obviously, once that's finished, and that will be managed through the Farmers Union. Now, a lot of people have had opinions of this throughout the day. There's some people that are saying, yep, it's a great idea, we should all do that. Now, Ireland can't do that. We can't stop the free movement of people because we live in Europe, whereas Britain are not in Europe anymore. They can do pretty much what they want. It's their country, their borders. They can make the decisions. They don't have to get the go-ahead from anybody else. The one that has bothered people during the day, and the one that I've noticed seems to be getting the most amount of reaction, is speaking English. And I said today I thought it was a great idea. And, of course, we got a complaint to the radio station that I must be a racist because I said that. And the reason I said it was because I had an experience going back about 2 years ago where I went into a shop to get some food, and I was trying to describe what I wanted, and the person behind the counter had no idea what I was talking about because they couldn't speak English. The only thing they knew is what they had learned behind that particular counter. So outside of the script, so to speak, they had no idea what I was talking about. And that to me was very frustrating. When you don't have the English language in an English-speaking country like Ireland and England, unfortunately, you're very limited in the jobs you can do. Yes, you might get a job, you know, I suppose, in a hotel cleaning the pots and pans down the kitchen where nobody really needs to talk to you that much, or a job, you know, in a warehouse where, well, even then you might need to speak, have some level of English. But you are limited in the employment that you can get. Britain have had this problem for a long time, so much so that George Osborne many years ago said that he was stopping social welfare for people who wouldn't learn the language. You would be surprised how many people would come to an English-speaking country and would refuse to learn the language because culturally they don't want to learn. They want to keep their own culture, keep their own language. And that's all well and good and very patriotic, but it doesn't serve you well in getting a job. So that's why they want to do it. And by suggesting that, Priti Patel has been called a racist, Boris Johnson has been called a racist, and I was called a racist today before suggesting it might have been a good idea. But I want to know if you disagree with me. So let's focus on that one thing, which is the language more so. Is it racist to request that an immigrant coming to your country can speak the language of the country fluently or in a reasonably well, you know, working knowledge of the language? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp or you can text. That's 087-188-0008. All right. Okay, Kevin Limerick says, racist again, for Christ's sake. You're getting a bit of a reputation, Niall. I thought you were a fascist, not a racist. That was the other night, Kev. I was a bigot the night before that as well. Let me know what you think. That's 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Also, by the way, just to mention as well that we're giving you a final opportunity tonight. Yes, you have your final opportunity.
It's that time to go-go to Universal Orlando with United Airlines and Tour America.
This is your last opportunity to get your name in the draw. PJ and Jim tomorrow morning are picking out a winner. You and three of your friends could be heading off to Orlando with Tour America and United Airlines. We'll be flying you over there into a brand new resort called the Endless Summer Resort in Universal Studios. You get tickets to Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, and the water park as well, Volcano Bay. And you'll also get tickets to the Blue Man Group. And it's an amazing holiday for 7 nights for you and three friends. All you got to do is listen out very carefully. At some point throughout the night, I'm going to play this.
It's that time to go-go to Universal Orlando.
When you hear that, not now, but when you hear it, all you got to do is text or WhatsApp the word WIN and your name to 087-188-0008. When you do that, we'll pick one person, bring them on the air, and you are in that draw. Jesus, Kev. Give it a break, will you? I haven't done it yet. And Mary and Shannon and everybody else. I just said don't do it now. I've just said I'm giving you a listen to what it sounds like. Oh, I'm getting overexcited. All right, we'll do that probably. I'm going to give you, look, I'll tell you when I'm going to do it. I'll be fair to you tonight. I'm going to do it at about 10 to 10. All right? So that you can get your phones ready. Your cut and pasting, whatever you do. All right, getting back to the topic. Is it racist to expect immigrants or people who come to a country to speak the national language of the country? In our case, English. Is that racist? Tom, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Tom?
Evening, Niall. How are you?
Tom, I mean, there's a whole point system here. We could discuss the whole system. I think most of it makes pretty much common sense. But to speak the language, is that a bit racist? Because the argument is, and we did get a message. We got a message from somebody. I want you to listen to this message. And it says, Niall, okay. That immigration plan by Boris is completely racist. They are putting way too many barriers up for people who simply want to go to the UK for a better life. There are nurses, doctors, carers, all people who contribute. Many of these people tend to go to a country and learn the English language as they're there. They may not have the best facilities in their home country to learn the English language to an acceptable level. Therefore, they move to the country, learn the language by actually being in the midst of those who speak it. It is completely discriminatory.
But now, look, we have a similar system here. If you want to come in from a foreign country, we'll say, Pakistan or something, India or someplace like that, they have to complete what they call a NILD exam, which is an English-based exam, and they have to have, I think, a score of 5.5 upwards or something like that. I don't know the exact score. I don't know why people are surprised. This did say in 2016 that they were going to tighten up their borders. It was the same with Trump. Everyone thought it wasn't going to happen. So they are following through. Johnson or not, he's only following through on the mandate he was given by the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't have any effect on us because we're under this common travel area, which is in
well, it does, as long as you're an Irish citizen. It does have effect on people who live here who are not Irish citizens, which is 14% of the population, by the way.
Look, everyone knew Johnson, once he got in, he was going to railroad this through because, like him or not, he's carrying out the mandate from people. Everyone's going to come up and say, we didn't know what we were voting on in 2016, this, that and the other. That's a lot of hogwash. Look, at the end of the day, politicians will tell you so much, it's down to yourself to research what you're voting on as well. Do you know where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing. You said there, I was on with you there, I spoke 12 months ago, you spoke with an immigration guy when he just retired. And I think he said something like 70 or 80% of the cases he dealt with were false.
Yep.
Now, let's separate this now. We have to be quite careful in this, okay? With someone coming into a country, especially the UK, under this proposed new immigration legislation, that does not affect anyone that's coming in on a refugee status, I think. People have got to get this much separated because that's what's going to be the next...
Yeah, but Britain now doesn't have the same obligation that we would have and Europeans have to take in refugees.
Well, look, do you know something? They're after deciding to go it alone. I think myself, the next 2 or 3 years is going to be tough for them, but I think in the long run, I think it's going to be a positive for them because the bureaucracy with Europe at the moment is a joke. Now, the origins of the EU when it was a European economic area, yeah, great idea for free trade free trade between countries. It's a great idea, but we're constantly heading towards a federal state of Europe or something like that. And that's not going to work because there's too many barriers there with countries with different traditions, different cultures. It's just not going to work. And I would imagine Europe will be implode within the next 15 to 20 years at the way things are going.
I don't personally believe the European model is working as well as it should.
And
I think if Italy pull out, which is a possibility, and if one or two other major countries pull out, it's doomed.
Look, I can give you the example, for example, and I know it myself. My wife is from Poland. Over the last few years, Poland has turned against the EU in a lot of ways.
But now, is your wife an Irish citizen?
Yep.
Okay. All right, okay. Because I was going to say that would cause you a problem going to the UK now.
Who said it was a problem?
No, I'm just saying if your wife was still a Polish citizen.
No, the wife is Irish, so do you know what I mean? And whatchamacallit, like she's here, 14 years?
Yeah.
We're married 10, so do you know what I mean? You're not going to get much more Irish than what she is.
But I'm just saying there's a lot of people, in Ireland. And by the way, there's going to be a lot of people in the UK very worried about this because a lot of people who are living in the UK are people who are Europeans and they're working on a non-UK passport. Okay. They're going to have to, I don't know what way that works for them.
What's going to happen now is the EU are going to rebuttal this, okay? They are going to come back with a rebuttal on this. And that's going to affect, the expats living in the likes of Spain as well. I think that's where the EU is going to come back and bite with the likes of, the European Medical medical card or whatever.
Yes, because of course it plays both ways. You've got UK citizens working around Europe. Yes, yeah.
And I believe, look, come here, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah, so if you're a UK citizen living in Ireland, yeah. Well, actually, no, not Ireland, because obviously we've received common travel area.
But if you're living
in Spain and you're a UK citizen, you're now got to be concerned.
Well, look,
and you're going to have to apply for a Spanish passport.
Well, you see, the old adage is now, for every action, there's a reaction. You know, and that's where the expat community in Spain and in France is. It's a large community from the UK.
Of course, yeah. Yep.
So, like, you know, the EU is going to come back with that. And I'd say this Immigration Act thing that they're trying to bring in will be watered down to a certain degree. But
I don't think so. Priti Patel seems pretty clear about what they're trying to do. They don't want people coming in. Basically, what she's basically saying is, we don't want people coming to Britain and claiming social welfare. That's more or less what she's saying.
That's
fair comment. Yeah, because you have to have a job now and an occupation that will earn you €30,000 minimum. Minimum.
Now, I lived in Poland for a few years, okay?
Yeah.
Great country. I can see why so many left. Okay, now it has improved over the last few years, but I can see why so many left. And a lot of, we'll say, Polish that have come here, better be careful, she could be listening. They've made a great contribution to the country. I think of all the nationalities that have come in.
They're a hard-working community, there's no doubt
about
that.
They have, and they've been the best ones to integrate into our society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't have the case for someone comes in from whatever country, whether it's A or B, and doesn't speak English. You can't have that. How are you going to react in a situation if it's an emergency situation, someone's injured and they're in a hospital?
Well, not only that, how are you going to get a job, realistically?
Well, this is it. Like, you know, look, at the end of the day, the country here is being a bit of a soft touch. Now, I'm not going to come on about the homeless crisis, which is a national disgrace, but I'm not going to go, how is the Irish force this, that, and the other? That's an entirely separate debate. But what I'm saying here is, if you want to come into the country, do you know, it was said to me a few years ago, a mate of mine said it to me when he went to Australia and he got in he married an Australian girl. Solid, finest, loves it over there. He'll never come back. He was told in his first job, welcome to Australia. It's a simple thing. Fit in or fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand.
You might like it, but do you know something? It was honest.
I'm looking at somebody says, obviously, one is not willing to learn the common language of the host country they have set up shop in, well, then they don't really want to integrate. They're racist themselves. They're biting the hand that feeds them. Just send them back. It's called the fifth column. Another person says that the UK leaving the EU makes no difference to its obligations to refugees, as this is governed by the United Nations, says Stephen in Ballinclash. I do understand that, Stephen, but I did read the other day that the obligations that the EU will impose on European countries in relation to the amount of asylum seekers one must take will be affected by that. Now, Stephen, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the numbers are going to be increased.
Well, I know, for example, not of asylum seekers, but temporary workers, say, working on farms, which would be quite common for farm people. They have increased the numbers, as far as I know, from 2,500 up to 10,000, which will allow for the fact that, obviously, they don't let in unskilled workers, or they won't be letting in unskilled workers anymore. But stay there for a second, please, Tom, if you can. Yeah. Let me go to Darren. Darren, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Darren?
Hey, Niall, how's it going?
Darren, this point saint based system, by the way, this is not unique. You know, places like, as far as I know, Canada and Australia have a point based system.
Yeah, we lived in Canada for a number of years, and to be able to get work visas and to be able to get through immigration, we actually had to do an English test. So a listening, reading, writing and speaking test to be able to integrate. And everybody has to go through the same process, which means that there's no unfair treatment of anybody. It means everybody has to have the same process. Now, that gentleman, I think it was Tom, mentioned the refugee piece, a completely different piece. And then also in Canada, there's different streams, so you can come in as a skilled worker, you can come in as a highly requested role, so things like technicians or electricians or engineers are highly sought after, so you go in under a different stream and you might get more points for that job.
Yeah, of course, so, but that's what they're saying here, the job offer is at a requested required skill level.
So I'm not politically minded at all or driven or any of that sort of stuff, but as you mentioned, they're trying to make sure that nobody's coming in and I suppose living off social welfare. And Canada do exactly the same thing, and I have to say I think it makes lots of sense, although I don't necessarily agree with someone that speaks English having to do an English test. If everybody has the same process, well then nobody's unfairly treated. So for someone to say it's racist, it's actually completely opposite. It means that everybody has the same process.
See, in Ireland, you can come from Poland or Estonia or whatever it is and not have a word of English and still come to Ireland because we're part of the European Union. They know, they no longer have to do that anymore.
And some of the things that people give out about here are certainly when Ireland started to become more multiculturally diverse, people started to give out about the fact that this person doesn't understand what I'm saying.
Well, it is frustrating. It is. I'm not going to be politically correct about it. There's nothing worse than, say, ringing a company. Now, a lot of the companies, mind you, we know have their help desks or support desks outside of Ireland because it's cheaper. But you ring up and some guy in there or girl on the other end of the phone hasn't a clue what you're saying to them. It is quite frustrating.
Yeah, and I suppose there's the other piece that having different cultures and having different languages makes a place a lot more interesting. It certainly made Ireland a lot more diverse. But I have to say, I'd love to tell you I was disagreeing with Tom, but I'm not. I'm fully in agreement.
Okay,
with
but
Tom.
What about the argument? And somebody sent us in a complaint into the radio station today, right? But in their complaint, they also, and I read out that paragraph earlier on that said, you know, that, for example, there are doctors, nurses, carers, all people who will contribute. Many of these tend to go to a country and learn the English language while they're immersed in it. You know, in other words, that sometimes people might come to Ireland, might not have good English, but they're here a few months, and after a few months, they pick up the language. That it's not that they're being discriminated against. Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
In most cases, these people would have some sort of foundation English in their system. They'd have to. It was a nurse or a doctor. Like, for anyone to say that a nurse or a doctor coming in here without some basic or medical English or something like that, that's a load of bullshit. Because basically, how are they going to treat people then if they're here in the hospitals? Do you know what I mean? That's a fallacy. That's just another smokescreen by the fucking PC.
And even at that point, Tom, I think the other piece of it is that, again, just to go back to the whole point, if everybody has the same process and the same system, then nobody's being unfairly treated. And yes, there might be some people that learn the language and they come here, but unfortunately, it's part of the process to come into
I agree with you. You put everyone in the same fucking... And that way then no one can say this, that and the other. Like, they haven't come out and said that it's going to apply to this group or that group. This is a blanket thing. No, we're lucky in the sense that we've got the common travel thing with them because of the history or whatever you want to call it.
Because it predates the EU membership, yes.
So, like, we're okay. But X, Y, and Z, go on there. If you're coming in, look, I've no issue. Welcome. If you can speak the English, if you can speak the language and you got a job, happy days. Off you go.
Okay, by the way, some of the text went in, and somebody says here, will the EU stop non-skilled British people who don't speak, for example, German, Spanish or Polish, going to those countries to work as many students and people do? Well, I'm assuming those countries, be it Germany or Spain or Poland, they have their own rules, because remember, of course, Britain will be a non-EU country, so you will be treated as a non-EU citizen when you're going to Germany. But mind you, it's a different argument in relation to Germany, because most Germans speak English as well as speaking German, and the same goes probably for Spain. France, not so much, but there are a lot of countries where, you know, although their first language will be their own, their second language is English, whereas here in Ireland and the UK, we only have the one language. You know, you could argue that we have Irish. Sorry, I should really say that in case somebody whines at me. But I don't know anybody who speaks fluent Irish personally.
Just stop it there, because I guarantee you the phone thing's going to light up.
There was a great short movie years ago. I remember I was in the cinema. I know they show the shorts every now and again, you know, it's made by the Irish Film Centre or whatever happens to it, right? But there was a movie, it was based in China, and there was this little Chinese guy, and he was about 16, and he became obsessed with Ireland. He started watching Irish television.
Oh, it was in the pub,
He decided he'd learn to speak Irish, because he wanted to go to Ireland. So he spent the next 4 years of his life studying the Irish language, right?
I know.
And then you see him getting on the plane and he's saying goodbye to his parents and he has his green jersey on him and everything. And he arrives in Ireland, gets into a taxi and starts speaking Irish and nobody understands a word he says.
I remember the ad, watching McCallum that was in Kilnascully, was the fella that was...
Yeah, and he went into a shop and nobody could help him because nobody understood what he was talking about. Yeah. And he had perfect Irish...
Now, look, we have to look at it logically, okay? People thought the UK wouldn't go. They thought it was going to be stalled the ball. But look, whether you like it or not...
No, I knew it was going to go. Yeah. Helena owes me 50 quid. Yeah. I put a 50 quid bet on with her 2 years ago that it was going to happen.
But they're gone. And what they do now... do you know something? I wish them the best of luck. Anyone that's going to go it alone like that, best of luck. And I hope people... They are going to suffer in the short term. I believe they are until these... Like, they're expecting the silver bullet of a trade deal from the EU. they haven't the hope of getting there. Not when you have the likes of Radcliffe there.
No, well, they'll get good trade deals from China when it recovers.
They will, yeah.
Mind you, this whole Chinese situation, by the way, lads, is becoming extremely volatile economically, because I know, obviously, the coronavirus is a big problem, but I don't know whether you've seen the videos that are going around of deserted streets in Wuhan and places like that. Yeah, some of the big companies like Apple are not taking orders from next month onwards because they've no way of getting the phones out of China.
Well, look, do you know something? This is where humanity comes before consumerism.
Yeah, absolutely, I understand. But it is going to be... What I said to somebody today is, sadly, over 1,000 people have died so far, and over whatever, 130,000 or 140,000 people have got the virus.
That we know about.
But mind you, the mortality rate is dropping. Which is a good thing, which means more people are surviving it than at the start, right? But in saying that, I think more people will die indirectly from the economic problems that it'll create.
Oh, they probably will, but you see now, look, that didn't want to be heard have been saying for the last year and a half that a drop in the economy is coming anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They have been saying it. Like, you know, that's how you... Like, you have quantitative easing going on globally at the moment where money has been printed and pumped into the system, okay? So what's needed now is a downturn to return some value to money. There is no value in money at the moment with the amount that's in circulation through quantitative easing.
Yeah, no, I remember watching a documentary all about how we put money into the system and take it back out and create recessions on purpose, etc., etc. It's all part of the economic merry-go-round. Stay there for a second, Tom, if you can, and we get back to the topic. Patrick, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Patrick?
Not too bad, how are you?
Good, Patrick. I mean, this points-based system, you know, everything on it makes sense, but some people believe the English-speaking part, which, by the way, will be mandatory, because that's part of the 50 points, not the 70 points, that part is a bit racist. Is it?
No, I do believe that in order to actually assimilate, a working knowledge of the English language would be important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd be pointless going and trying to make a life for yourself and your family if you can't actually assimilate.
Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Well, if you can't assimilate.
So, but I suppose with the point system... Now, I was listening to the show earlier, and I think there was mentioned...
Your line is breaking up a little bit, Patrick. Are you holding your phone properly in your hand there? It's going and coming.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
Sorry about that.
You were listening to the show earlier, and...
Somebody said that the salary would be... An unskilled worker would be classed under 25K.
Well, 30,000 euro, £25,600 sterling. 30,000 euro, yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Like, that's a reasonable request, but... Now, somebody threw up figures now, whether they're right or not. They were talking about how, say, a care worker might only earn 20,000.
You won't be allowed in if that's the case, because this is a mandatory qualification that you must have a job earning 25,000 or you will not qualify for entry.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I suppose with certain jobs, they're going to be on request.
Yeah, because you're right. Because what about a trainee nurse, for example, or a doctor?
Exactly.
A trainee doctor who will be only on, you know, they'll be on less than that, I'm assuming, as a third year trainee or something like that.
Yeah. I surely imagine so.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it's something like here, they are short of people to work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, this is going off on a tangent, but the healthcare system, no more than here, I don't think it would be all that great. And they are going to be in need of doctors and nurses where their salary might not even be to that extent.
I think it's going to be of great benefit to Irish trainees, by the way, who'll be able to go over there in abundance now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're going to lose even more of them probably to the UK.
Hang on, Tom.
Sorry, you continue what you're saying, Patrick.
He can continue. Go on.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
This is another problem that we've got coming down the road, is we're educating high-quality staff for export. And we've got to tackle this. And this, like, look, being honest, we train some of the best medical people globally, I believe.
Yeah.
And yet, when they qualify, they just Good luck and thanks.
4 out of every 5, I believe, are gone.
I believe that anyone entering the medical thing, and this is probably going to spark off something, I believe that they should have a student loan or else...
I said exactly the same thing, Tom, 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry. And
no, you're taking the wind out of me sails. I said the same thing. They must stay here for at least 5 years or they have to pay the loan back.
Well, look, if someone's offended by that, you know, tough. But I'm looking at this purely as an angle. We have a crumbling health service, okay? And we're educating... people that go to Dubai.
Who use the education we're paying for as taxpayers.
And best of luck to them.
To do it somewhere else. Yeah. But no, you're right.
You're right.
And by the way, that's a whole different topic. I got into that about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And what I said was, we should actually, instead of them having to pay $4,000 a year to go to college to be a nurse, we should give it to them for free.
And give
them a loan and say to them, there you go, it's all yours for free. It's worth about $30,000 or whatever it's worth. And I'll tell you what, if you stay here for 5 years, you don't have to pay us back. But if you leave the country within 5 years, we want the money back.
Yeah, or a portion to the ratio that you work.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, that will encourage people to stay here. At least give us some, get a bit of value for money, taxpayers' money. Oh, but that's a whole different ballgame. Sorry, Patrick, getting back to speaking English.
It does have an effect. If you had something like that in the UK, for example, where nurses are leaving the healthcare system over there to go abroad, if you had
not as many,
like that,
not as many are leaving the UK.
Not as many, but as an example, you could use that analogy over there, which would take further pressure off the system of having to bring in outside staff.
Getting back to the language, what about, you know, the idea that you have to speak, you know, a working knowledge of the language?
Well, in reality, right, like you mentioned earlier, you went into a shop and the person, besides the basic script of there's your change and how can I help you, they didn't even know what you're on about.
Yeah.
How can we, right, say, yes, the second generation would probably grow up with a working knowledge of English. But how can you actually assimilate and be part of the community and enrich society?
Well, the argument is when you're trying to encourage diversity, that somebody will come to a country and they may be a skilled person but get an unskilled job, maybe working in a shop with bad, because they've bad English. And after, say, 6 months, they improve their English so much because they're dealing with customers every day.
Well, I would disagree, right? Because at the same time, if you're going to... See, I've been to France.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people can be ignorant even if you ask them to speak English. So I went there with a working knowledge of French. I had to learn French before I could actually do anything. Because though people could speak English, they were somewhat arrogant toward your request to speak English. So they have the philosophy of, you came here, you speak French.
It happens to me before. And they always say when you go to France, that if you get into a taxi or whatever it is, if you make some effort to speak French, they will respect you a lot more than making no effort.
Yes.
Yeah, at least you're making an effort.
I think that's fair, because I always used to thought it was strange. I know it's because we're tourists. We go to Spain and we expect them to speak English to us. No Spanish person comes to Ireland and expects us to speak Spanish to them. So there is a little bit of, I suppose, you know, we are being slightly assholes to be going to other countries and expecting them to speak our language. Now, I know we're tourists and that's what tourism does, but you know what I mean? I get it. All right, but stay there for a second. Let me just go to Ivan. You're on Classic Hits.
Cool. Could you take me up?
Hang on, I just want to put it on Ivan there. Ivan, go ahead.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Good, Ivan, how are you doing? You are from Bosnia.
Bosnia and Herzegovina, yes.
Okay, and when did you come here, by the way? Can I ask you when you came to Ireland?
Early 2015.
All right, okay, because I know a lot of people from Bosnia came here many years ago, many, many years ago, when there was trouble, obviously, in Bosnia.
Yes, in trouble time.
Yes, okay. But Ivan, what about this? Are you an Irish citizen now?
No, not
okay,
yet.
So you can't go to when this comes in, you won't be able to go to the UK and work, unless you're an Irish citizen, of course, then you would. But you won't be able to go to the UK and work unless you fill the criteria.
Yeah.
It's a tough criteria, you know. Well, I mean, your English will be fine, probably, but, you know.
Yeah, but look, when it comes to English, like, I really think that's not racist. I think that should be, like, bare minimum for at least two different reasons. First of all, English is a really easy language to learn. Probably the easiest language of all of the European languages. And if you go to any other country, like, you can't even apply to job in Germany without speaking German, or Italy, France, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that really isn't racist.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because otherwise you would have people coming over here with not much chance of getting a job.
Yes.
Well, the UK, should I say. Yeah.
Yes, and to be honest with you, like me as an immigrant, I'm also annoyed just by daily struggle trying to order a coffee from somebody who can't speak a word of English.
Okay.
And, you know,
and
stuff like that.
And did you learn English in school?
Not really. I actually learned English just from watching TV, playing games.
Watching Friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you came to Ireland, was your English as good as it is now, or was it pretty bad?
I'd say it was on the same level. But the thing was, when I moved to Ireland, like, I was expecting, okay, you know, they're speaking English. But the thing is, I moved to Cork, and the first person I met was from West Cork, and I couldn't understand the word.
So. All right, bye. How are you doing, bye? Yeah, I know. I find it difficult to listen to some people around this country, by the way, not just Cork.
So my problem was just to adjust to all the different accents here, but, like, my English was fine, when I moved here.
Okay, so would you have any problem with any other part of the point system, or do you think the whole system is fair, that you must have a job earning 30 grand a year, euro, you must have a required skill level, it must be a job, you get points then as well for having a job that a British person can't do? They would be quite standard stuff if you're going to Canada or you're going to America or Australia, so is it fair?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, there definitely should be some kind of system, but this one that they proposed seems kind of a bit too tough. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of people will, you know, meet those criteria.
So people aren't going to meet that criteria anyway. And like, I've heard some saying that it should be a phased-in thing. There's never a good time to bring in something like this. And I presume when Canada brought in something like this, I don't know how long they have it, or Australia, there was controversy more or less the same again. There's never a good time when you actually go change on an open immigration system, you know, which is what we have with the EU, with the freedom of movement. It is going to affect people. But at the end of the day, the people of the UK took a democratic vote, whether we like it or not, you know, and we have this whole thing with the Northern Ireland thing. And my view is, like, we had this thing, you had Sajid Khan saying, well, London voted to stay in, you had Blades up the North and we voted to stay in.
And so did the Scottish as well, of course.
No, but the thing is now, when you voted in that referendum, the minute you put your X either yes or no, you gave your consent saying that you were going to respect the will that it was a UK-wide referendum and the result would be respected. So you can't have this way and that way. Like, we've got problems coming down the road with the border here anyway, ourselves. And I think that's just going to be a mess, I think.
Well, I think it's going to be a huge mess. By the way, Ivan, sorry, can I ask how old you are?
I'm 33 years old.
Okay, so you would have been around, I suppose, for the War of Independence as well, wouldn't you? When did that finish? 1992, was it? It kind of lasted till probably 1995, the Bosnian War.
Yeah, 1995. Yeah.
And did you not want to leave at that stage? I mean, were you tempted to get out of there at that stage?
Well, we did, but it was impossible.
Okay.
Because the town where we have been was under the siege for like almost 3 years.
Right, and what was that like? Tough.
Hell on earth.
My gosh. I remember the time following it in the news at the time, and it was, God, it was awful to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really interesting to see, like, all the support from your little country during that time. I remember that really well.
Yeah, many, many people came here at the time to Ireland under the refugee program. And this is just, well, I suppose before the Republic proclaimed the independence in 1990. Was it 1992 they proclaimed independence, wasn't it?
And, yeah, I think so.
And then the war, of course, followed that then up to 1995. And that was, well, when the worst part of it happened, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you're still with us. You're still with us, Ivan. That's the main thing.
Yeah. We stayed back then, and then we moved after the, you know, independence and everything. But, like, our country is completely economically destroyed. So.
And how is it now? Has, I mean, obviously, you've got still got friends, or you've got maybe family back home.
Now it's even worse than 92.
It's worse economically now. It's economically, so it's not recovering at all.
No. No, oh, everything's going backwards there.
Okay, and who's, what government are in there now at the moment?
Just nationalist parties and like stuff like that.
Okay, all right.
Worst
okay.
of the worst.
Okay, I must do a bit more reading about it. All right, stay there for a second. Let me go to Matthew. Matthew, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Matthew?
Good evening.
Ivan, you know, who's here from Bosnia, he believes it's a fair system, that, you know, you do have to have a working knowledge of a language. Do you think it's a fair system?
Yes and no. Just because I can see from my perspective, when I arrived to Ireland 14 years ago, I couldn't say a single word.
How long ago was that, 14 years ago?
14 years, yeah. Okay. So, and I went to work next day. So, in fairness, that wasn't really special work, because I was only working in the craft cleaning company.
Okay. Where are you from, Matthew, originally?
From Poland.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
So I think if you said they're going to allow 10,000 people to work for farmers.
Yeah, every year. Now, that'll be temporary. You'll be kind of kicked out after the summer season,
yes,
probably.
That's what I mean. So there is some kind of work where your language isn't really important. Your hand is more important than your language. So.
But those jobs are limited. You know, I mean, even in the simplest jobs, you know, be it working in a takeaway or working, you know, in retail, you still have to have a knowledge of the language.
In the company which I'm working here right now, I'm a professional driver. And I can see how many drivers doesn't speak English at all. And I don't think that's a good idea. But because if something happened on the road, they need to know how to explain, make a phone call, things like this.
Yes.
But from the different perspective, they can easily drive in Ireland without speaking the English.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I suppose the UK, they can do pretty much what they want now. They're not under the control of Europe, so they can make whatever rules they want for everybody. And whether you're EU or non-EU, it doesn't matter. You're treated the same way now going into Britain.
Fairness, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, the rest of the rules that they have, does it seem fair to you that you have to have a job earning 30,000 a year euro? You have to have a required skill, a job that is required a skill. In other words, you can't just, you know, say I have a job working at McDonald's. You know?
But we all know how many drivers. I'm talking about the drivers, because I'm always listening about the shortage of drivers. And
what do you drive, by the way? A bus, truck? What do you drive? Taxi.
Arctic.
What?
Arctic.
Oh, an articulated lorry. Okay.
So if they are short of 100,000 of drivers, professional drivers, and if they're going to stop apply new drivers coming into UK, they're going to be in trouble. So they're going to have to lift the English points just to allow more drivers to come in.
Well, it does say that there are exceptions to this. Not exceptions, but there's 20 points where there is a shortage of workers in the field. In other words, you get 20 points for that. But that still doesn't mean that you can't speak English, because according to them, the first three on the list, which is have a job offer requiring a skill, and speaking English, are mandatory. They're not. It does give you 50 points. They're mandatory, and you must have one of the other three or four that are listed on the list.
I would like to know what the mandatory mean. What is it actually mean?
It means you really must have it. But I mean, it's the same. Yes, If I want to go to America, I've got to have an offer of a job. I have to be able to speak English. Actually, I don't know whether English is a requirement in America. It is in Australia and Canada. I know that. Maybe not in America. I don't know. But I must have a job, and that job must be a job that can't be done by an American person. So I must have a particular skill. you know?
I'm just wondering about the level of English which is required to...
Well, I imagine it's a working... I imagine it's a working knowledge. I don't think they'd expect you to have to be fluent, but they'd expect you to have a working knowledge. I mean, I know the British Secretary there, of the Home Secretary, going back 5 years ago, George... Oh, no, he was the Minister for Finance, so to speak, 5 years ago. He said that he was cutting off social welfare for people who didn't speak English, if they didn't take lessons.
It should be exactly the same in here.
Because he said there was no point. He said there was no point in them being there because they were limited in the amount of jobs they could get.
I'm sure he was from the right-wing party, is he?
Well, I don't know. I think he was actually a Tory. He was a Tory. I think he was George Osborne, yeah.
All right.
I mean, Ivan, do you remember that story, you know?
I do kind of remember seeing that somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's a bad idea? Now, don't get me wrong. He wasn't just going to say to somebody, that's it, you're not getting your dole anymore because you can't speak English. What he was saying was, we're going to send you for English lessons, and unless you go and learn English, we're not giving you the dole anymore.
Well, yeah. That also, makes sense because it sounds tough, but it makes sense, you know.
Well, it does, because it opens up the job
Make
market a bit, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. It does open up the job market. Let me just go to Jude. I've got, how many more callers to go to? Oh, one, two more. Okay, all right, okay. Let me just go to Jude. Jude, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jude?
Not too bad at all, no.
Jude, I mean, these requirements for Great Britain as in from next January, are they okay? Do you see anything wrong with them?
I don't, because unlike Ireland, Britain, as you said, has complete sovereignty over its borders and its employment laws and whatever, and that's great. And I do think that if you're in a job that requires you to speak language to communicate, English is very important. You have to be able to speak it in your job.
Yeah.
I understand that. But I think on some level here, there seems to be an awful lot of hypocrisy coming from certain Irish people or a certain part of society because of laziness. Because most Irish people expect people to learn English when they come over here. That's great. But many Irish people working abroad, many of them don't go to other countries that don't speak English. They usually go to America, Australia, Canada, you know.
Yes.
They're not too bothered about... They only go to a country that they can speak a language because they couldn't be bothered or don't want to learn it.
Right.
But they expect people to come over here and speak English. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Well, I did mention earlier on, even when we go on holidays, we expect the Spanish to speak English.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, it is a bit ridiculous. It's actually quite insulting.
You know, but I also think you speak English in a job that requires you work in a shop, or if you work in an office, or if you work in sales, you speak English, yes? But I think if you're in your downtime, recreational time, people moan about other people speaking their own foreign language.
Their
own time.
I mean, here's how bad we are as English people. If I went to Poland or Bosnia or whatever it is, right? And, of course, I can't speak Polish, and I certainly can't speak any other language as well. I could do a little bit of French, and that's about it, right? But I would be standing there, you know, talking to, for example, I was talking there a few minutes ago to Ivan, right? And I'd be standing there talking to Ivan in his own country in Bosnia going, can you point me to... So I would be speaking in broken English, thinking he might be able to understand me, now pretending that he didn't understand me, that he might be able to understand me. That's how bizarre this whole situation when it comes to the English language is. We expect other people to comply with it. Whereas he wouldn't
exactly
come over here. Sorry, Ivan, what's the native language in Bosnia? What is three?
It's Bosnian, but I mean, we're talking about English language. English language is like the most common language.
It is second language in the world, and I understand that. But still,
yeah.
You wouldn't come here, Ivan, and come over to me and start going in Bosnian, whatever, can you show me directions, whatever it is in Bosnian, and expect me to understand a word I was saying to you. But we have this arrogance... The English speakers have this arrogance around the world that we expect other people to understand us.
Well, I wouldn't call that an arrogance, just because of the fact that it's the second most spoken language in the world. So.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's the first, by the way. Chinese is the most spoken language in the world.
Mandarin.
Yeah, but there you go. But English is the most acceptable language, or widely acceptable language in the world. So Jude, you think this is all pretty good? You accept it? You think it's fine?
I think it's fine, especially because Britain has sovereignty. Anyone in Ireland who expects the same sort of thing would be delusional to think that we could even do those steps, because we are required by EU law to obey their laws.
Oh, no, well, of course, we can't do this. Unless we leave Europe, we can't do this, no.
Yeah. Oh, no, I have no problem with
and I know there's loads of nationalists in this country who would love this. They would love Ireland to have rules like this.
Yeah, but can't. They're dreaming. Pipe dreams. Can't.
Yeah, well, unless we leave Europe.
Yeah, as long as we're backed by Europe, it's a pipe dream. Forget about it. And actually, we do need foreign workers coming over here. The more the merrier.
Well, we do need foreign workers, skilled workers, and diversity is a good thing for a country as long as people are skilled. But we don't need people coming to Ireland and going on the dole.
Oh, no, it's for people who work. I don't mean economic migrants. I know anyone who hasn't got a job is not willing to come into this country and work. If they're not a refugee, get rid of them. We've enough of our own.
We've enough unemployment. Enough people want to sit in their bums all day. Okay, we'll stay there for a second. Let me go to Mohammed. Mohammed, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Mohammed?
Hi, good evening, Niall. How are you?
Good. Mohammed, I mean, this is going to be bad news for a lot of people who wanted to go to the UK to work as in from next year, because now they're not going to be able to go unless they fit this criteria.
I think this is a great thing, like, because you see a lot of people do get exploited over this issue, because they come to the country thinking that they'll learn the language over in the country. For example, here in Ireland, because I'm from Pakistan, you see, and I know a lot of guys, like, you know, when they came from Pakistan, they couldn't understand or speak any of the English. So they get exploited very easily. And we live in a world where you need information, you know, like, to get jobs and all that stuff.
And by the way, did you learn English in Pakistan? You did?
I did.
But in Pakistan in general, do most kids learn English?
Well, that depends. If you live in the city like Lahore, Karachi, Islamabad, the big cities, you know, most of the people would be able to understand you. In speaking terms, I wouldn't say that everybody could understand you, but in the big cities, they understand, but they can't really speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job. I was working with an American company. That's how I came to learn English very quickly.
Okay. So, were you working in the tech industry?
No. I was in a call center.
Oh, okay. A call center. Okay. Yeah. You would learn English pretty quickly when you're dealing with people on the end of a telephone. Yeah. But as I said earlier on, Mohammed, for example, if you're ringing an Irish company support line, and you have some guy, Mohammed, in Pakistan, and he does, and the only thing he knows in English is the script he has in front of him, and you have a different problem, it can be very frustrating.
Yeah,
you know, no more than if you couldn't speak good English and you rang an English call center. You know what I mean?
That's my point. Like, you know, anybody coming to this country, if they want to have a good job, if they want to progress in their life, they should at least put in effort to understand, you know, or speak. I wouldn't say too much English, but you know the basics.
Well, yeah, a working knowledge of the language. Yeah,
exactly.
And what about the rest of the criteria that you have to get into the UK now? You'll have to have a job that promises more than €30,000, well, €30,800 to be exact, and you'll have to have a required skill level. In other words, you can't just say that I have a job working flipping burgers. You know, it'll have to be a job that requires skill.
I suppose, because I've been following this news, and I think the only reason they came up with this is because they want to restrict those numbers coming into the country.
Mm-hmm. They want to stop free movement, yes.
Exactly. I otherwise, you wouldn't put these restrictions on the people, because you see that a lot of people want to come to UK to work. Because of this legislation, a lot of people would just look somewhere else, you know?
Well, here's the bigger problem, right? I think this is bad news for Ireland, because those people who would have wanted to go to the UK are going to be looking for another English speaking country, and you know where the next one is, don't you?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
45 minutes away in a plane.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mohammed, thank you very much indeed. Appreciate your call. All right, cheers, mate.
Yeah. Bye. Thank you.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi award winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.